in marriage. So if I forget to remind us of harmony, please put it in your head. I've got a picture here. I have several pictures, probably way too many. But there we go. Ephesians 5, starting at verse 15, not verse 22. Starting at verse 15 and going to the end. Here's what's going to happen today. We're going to talk about this, and it's going to focus on the wife and the marriage relationship. Okay? Then in June, guess what? The same passage, we're going to focus on the husband and the marriage relationship. The two overlap, but this is the goal. Hey, if you're a young person, okay, someday you're going to be married. Okay, look forward to it. But you don't start preparing for marriage at the wedding day. You start preparing immediately now. You want to make sure that you're equally yoked. When you're dating, you want to date somebody who not only is a Christian, but loves the Lord and wants to live for Him. So you want to be unified that way. By the way, we might have some singles here. I really don't mean to let you out and to just ignore you. But I want to talk about marriage today because the Lord has led me in that direction. And there are some singles one day will get married. Hey, by the way, if there's a single and they're not married and they're not looking like they're going to, it's okay. Sometimes we think, well, they're less spiritual because they're not married. Baloney. Because Paul in chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians, he admits that he is single. Most likely his wife left him because he became a Christian. But he is single. So if it's not right to be single, Paul had a problem. By the way, Jesus wasn't single either. Sometimes, what's that? He was single. He wasn't married, is what I meant. She fills my gaps, I told you. So we want to be careful with that. And also, what I'm going to talk about here is God's design for marriage from the woman's perspective, the wife's perspective. Never, ever, ever, ever hear me say that you are committed to live in an abusive relationship. Never. God never intended that. If there's abuse going on, and by the way, it goes both ways. It's just the guy has a little more to throw people around with, and it's wrong. But sometimes there's as many women who control, but they control emotionally. Okay? Please understand, in no way do I ever advocate that that's God's design for marriage ever. All right? There are things that must take place to stop that and prevent that. That means one or both need to grow up in some areas. So as we're going through this, do not hear me say harmony means that if he's hurting you, that you have to just stick it out because that's baloney. All right? All right. Here's on a positive note. Somebody I really enjoy learning about is Winston Churchill. And here's a story told about Winston Churchill that illustrates his devotion to his beloved wife, Clemmie. Churchill once attended a formal banquet in London. The dignitaries were asked the question, if you could not be who you are, who would you like to be? Naturally, everyone was curious to know how Churchill would reply. After all, he couldn't say he wanted to be Julius Caesar or Alexander the Great, you know, big conquerors. When the great man's turn finally arrived, Churchill rose and gave his answer. If I could not be who I am, I would most like to be, and then he paused, picked up his wife's hand, and said, Lady Churchill's second husband. How important is genuine affirmation? Hey guys, when it's genuine, it floats your wife, man. She just loves it. She rises above the clouds. That's how you love her. Not just by words of affirmation, but actions thereof and reactions. We'll talk more about you on June. We're going to mention you a little today. But when we give that affirmation, and ladies, your husband needs that affirmation to be secure, to be all that God intends him to be. And when that affirmation is given genuinely and on a regular basis, it's priceless. The outline today, and I know I'm short on time, the value of surrendering, the value of showing, and the value of supporting. So like I said, we're going to look through some of the things in this section. Note to wives, it's just verses 22 to 24, and then it starts in 25 and goes all the way almost to 33, and that's all for the guys. At the end, it does mention for the girls. But I want you to understand, in order to teach this passage, we kind of separate things out and talk about these things. You need to understand, in context, it's like this. I have pancakes every Friday morning. It's my day off. I love to get up and make pancakes and go watch the Rockford Files and hang with our new dog, all right? So when I make pancakes, you know, I take the pancake mix, an egg, and some milk. What do I do with them? I don't leave them separate. Mix them together. I want you to understand the context of the husband's role and the wife's role is all mixed in like that batter. It is not to be separate this way. It's meant to be mixed in, and the goal is harmony so that God's name is honored. So we'll start here with the first one, the value of surrendering. Letter A, submit to the Holy Spirit. And I have a picture here for you. Well, it should be there. There it is. Hopefully you can see that well. But it's got a glass. It's all fresh. Pretend you're in Arizona. It's really hot, dry. And so here's a fresh, cool glass of water, and it's overflowing, right, as it's being poured into. And the verse that is quoted there is 5:18 of Ephesians, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's where this whole context starts. In fact, it starts even earlier, chapters 1 through 3, as to who God is and what He's done in relation to salvation. Then in chapter 4, it begins to say, because of those first three chapters, this is how we live. And one of the ways is being filled by the Holy Spirit. So letter A, submit to the Holy Spirit. That verse 18 and 20 says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Ephesians is all about. That's what the Bible is all about. So we're to submit to the Holy Spirit. We're to be filled. It doesn't mean that you choose every day to bring the Holy Spirit into your life. You can't do that. The Holy Spirit is already there if you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. He's that gift. He's one of many things that take place at the point of conversion. And so you have the Holy Spirit that's already there. God promised that. Jesus did. And so you have the Holy Spirit within you. You have all of the Holy Spirit you ever going to get. The difference is this, is obeying that Holy Spirit. Being submissive to what He's leading and guiding. By the way, without the Holy Spirit, applying God's Word into your heart, giving you clear understanding of it, you don't know who God is and you can't serve God. You do not have the capacity in and of yourself to do that. That's why God made you a new creation when you give your life to Christ. And He gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit to help you understand this as you apply yourself to studying it and using it in your life. So when we start talking about submission, this is where it starts. It starts with our submission to the Lord and His precious gift, the Holy Spirit. It's a choice. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is the choice to obey the Holy Spirit's leading. Earlier in chapter 4, it does talk about do not grieve the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean chase the Holy Spirit away. Holy Spirit's there. He's not going to leave because He's God and He promised. But what happens is the Holy Spirit is guiding, hey, you should do this, this, this. And we're saying, nah, I'm going to do my own thing. Now you just grieve the Holy Spirit. You disobeyed. Much like your children do sometimes when they disobey you. Sometimes you did when you disobey authority over your life. So it begins by we need to submit to the Holy Spirit. And it's not just the wives. It's everybody who knows Christ as their Lord and Savior. He's the guide now. Look at letter B. Submit to one another. Boy, there's a whole bunch of submitting going on, isn't there? It's not a bad term. It just depends the attitude in which it's given or taken. Look at verse 21. It simply says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit. Okay, and it's submit to one another. Now, it's talking to all believers. We're all to submit to one another. We're all to be thinking about one another's betterment. Other places say, build each other up. Other places say, encourage one another in the way of the Lord. This is what we should be about, is encouraging one another. The ladies' ministries had a daughter's luncheon yesterday. And the heart and soul of that is to encourage ladies and their daughters. That's what it's for. And so when those things happen, even if it's a guy, a dad's thing, we should show up to those things and participate to encourage somebody. Rather than decide if it's going to be fun for me or not, think about the other person. That's how we submit to one another. We're to be concerned with each other's needs because of our love for Jesus. People are important to Jesus, so they're important to us. Okay? It is the opposite of being a proud individualist. We learn to live in community. Okay, within that context, now he's going to focus on different areas. One in marriage relationship, the other in the child-parent relationship, and the other in the text, it's the slave and slave owner, which back then it was, we're going to equate it to employment. So it follows with those things. That's how you submit and be filled with the Spirit. We're going to only focus on submit to your husbands, and that would be letter C. We see that in verse 22, submit to your husbands. I have a picture here for you too. There we have a set of rings. Okay? Remember, marriage is not just a person and a person talking individually. It is a harmony together. And do you understand what they're laying upon? It's supposed to be a Bible, right? And it's opened up to Ephesians 5. Your marriage needs to be based on that and God's love. So it says in verse 22, wives, submit to your husbands. And here's the qualifier, as to the Lord. This is written not to women being submissive to men. This is not a gender thing. Never intended in Scripture. In fact, in Scripture, you know what? It liberated women. What Jesus and Paul and the others taught in that relationship with women in society was groundbreaking. And society's looking at it and saying, well, you're giving too much equality to the ladies. That's what Scripture does. Because in the eyes of God, we are equal when it comes to persons. What he's talking about here with related to submission, it's the wife's role in the marriage relationship. And this brings harmony in the relationship. The husband has a role as well. We'll talk about it in June. And when he practices his role, it brings harmony in the relationship. Bottom line, when we're living the way that God has called us in marriage relationship, it honors the Lord. And by the way, it presents the gospel. So now, I've written what submission is not, and then what submission is. There's more could be said, but here's some things I like to throw out. Submission is, number one, letter A, not something your husband demands. Find me a place in Scripture where it says, husbands, demand your wife to submit to you. It doesn't happen. But I have met a number of guys who take this to mean that. By the way, there's nothing grammatically, there's nothing contextually, there's nothing practically that ever supports that view. Husband, you are never to demand your wife to submit to you. You know what that is? That's pretending you're a Caesar. It's coercion. And if you force somebody to submit to you, is it really submission? No, you have a captor. You have a prisoner. And it's not right. We're equal before God, both husband and wife. When the wife submits to the husband and the husband is not demanding it, it creates harmony in the home. We'll talk a little bit more about this. Look at letter B. Submission is not giving up your identity. I have not experienced as many abusive relationships and people trying to get out of it as I have in this community. Just in the past month, there's two ladies that have come to me asking for help. I tentatively plug them into Turning Point, which is a great organization. Not necessarily focusing on Christ, but they're helping ladies get out of those situations. One lady was in an abusive situation. Her dad came to pick her up and take her back to Idaho because the guy was hurting the dogs and saying, this is you. Okay, So as they're going through town, the car breaks down. It's after hours. They can't get money. So I bought them a hotel room and told them where to go to the mechanic. Stay away from one guy and go to the other guy. And then I was able to talk with her. I said, "Hun, you need to understand that ladies that get in abusive relationships, it goes along when they get out, they go back. And they go back." I said, "Please don't go back. If what you told me is the truth, don't go back. Give him a couple years to prove he's changed." But she loses her identity in that abusive relationship. Submission never means that. That's the enemy who is trying to pervert what God had put into place. Instead, when that wife submits to that husband, she should be able to use her personal gifts to help him grow as he helps her grow. You see, it's more about encouraging each other in the Lord than dominating anything. Submission is, letter C, not an expression of inferiority. When a woman is being submissive to her husband, it doesn't mean she's inferior or less important. It just means it's a role, right? You got Michael Jordan and company several years ago playing on the Bulls basketball team, and he was the leader, right? And when his other guys weren't measuring up, he'd take them aside and say, "Man up, we need to go. I can't win the game alone." And he was a leader. And when they listened and they submitted and they obeyed, man, they became a force to reckon with. Marriage shouldn't be a basketball team, but it is a team. And a team always needs someone who's going to lead and someone who's going to support. But you need both. You need both. That's the concept. So it's not an expression of inferiority. Instead, it's an expression of equal partners in the home. It's an entirely new concept that Paul and Jesus both introduced. Submission is, letter D, not conditional on your husband's love. Wait a minute, Pastor. He's kind of a toad. Yeah. But when you made a commitment before a pastor, before witnesses, and before the Lord, you committed to love, honor, and cherish him regardless of what. Yeah, but he's hard to love sometimes. Yeah, I get that. So are you. Oh, yeah. Again, I'm not talking about excessive. But because he is sometimes hard to love, you still need to love. It talks about as Jesus loves, okay? In the Lord and all this. Does Jesus love you 100% all the time? Yes. That's what Scripture claims. Did he love you before you accepted his Son as Lord and Savior? Yes. That's God's radical love. Can't explain it, can't understand it. With that same kind of love, you're to love your husband. By the way, that same kind of love, the husband's to love the wife. It'll create a healthy, happy environment. Okay, look at number two. Submission, this is supposed to be the positive side. Submission, letter A, is a voluntary act of love. Remember, the husband is not commanded to demand submission. But Carrie voluntarily chooses to submit as an act of love. Yes, yes, an act of love to me. More importantly, an act of love to your commitment before the Lord, before witnesses, and to your spouse. This commitment begins with the wedding vows, and it continues to look for her best interest from that time on. Would you at this point write Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11? Anytime I'm doing marriage counseling or premarital counseling, and these people that I've done it with, they'll tell you, Philippians 2, 1 through 11, I keep bringing it up. It's a great way to understand how we are to live and be submissive to the Holy Spirit, to one another, and how it specifically focuses on our spouse. Wives, it's a voluntary act of love. Love for your husbands, yes, but love by obeying the Lord. Look at letter B. Submission defines your identity in Christ. Remember, submission is not loss of identity. but it defines your identity in Christ. If your identity is in anything else, you're losing. Your identity is in Jesus Christ. As you choose to be filled with the Holy Spirit, chapter 5, verse 18, you're submitting to Him, you're going to submit to other believers, and you're going to submit to your spouse. Not being an individual, but a team that is committed to Jesus. I too often have been counseling marriages, and there's two individuals trying to live together. It's almost like two roommates sharing everything, but doing their own thing, you know? And the guy says, well, I'm never going to call and let her know where I'm at. What am I, her child? No, you're the one who committed to her, and all she wants is to know where you are, you know? Or vice versa. How dare he? We need to learn to care for one another. Your identity should be in Christ. And if your identity is in Christ, you're going to make that marriage work with all the warts and struggles, and you're going to present the gospel just by how you live. Look at letter C, submission helps your husband fulfill his role. Your husband's role, as we'll see in June, is to be a servant leader. Note the order. It's not leader-servant. Servant leader. And the disciples of Jesus, they were wanting to know who was going to be the big man in the kingdom of God, and he says, you all need to be a servant before you can ever lead. So you need to serve. That doesn't mean a leader who does whatever the other person asks. It's one who is leading on behalf of the other person's betterment. And the wife, her role is the helper, a motivator. Carrie motivates me and she helps me. You heard her help me today when I made the mistake, right? Honestly, I value my wife and our relationship as she helps me in many ways. If you want to know, I'll tell you. Good teamwork requires teamwork. And too often, when people come to my office for counseling, the teamwork isn't happening. One or both are acting as an individual rather than a team. Look at letter D. Submission is the opposite of competition. It's the opposite of competition. Carrie and I don't compete on anything because I win at everything. Of course, that's not true. But competition between two people in marriage brings a lot of tension, a lot of heartache. I term it drama, right? God has designed one to be the leader and the other to be the helper. And it doesn't mean you're in a hierarchy. It means that you're together working hand in hand. A good leader always needs good followers. And good followers always need good leaders. When there is tension between somebody and the leadership, there's little harmony. And when there is little harmony, the testimony is weak. And our job, our goal, is to win souls for Christ. Let's look at number two. We want to see the value of showing. You know, show and tell. You want to show something and either brag on it or explain it. The concept here is the gospel. Jesus, He's the one we want people to see. Not just to see that we're cool together, but we're cool together because of Jesus and only because of Jesus. Look at letter A, and this is kind of dipping into what we're going to talk about to the guys a little bit later, but letter A is how to lead. Look at verse 23. It just said, husbands, submit to your wives as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, His body, of which He is the Savior. So understand that our standard, men, is how Jesus relates to the church. Look at number one, trying to explain the concept of head, as Christ is the head. It's used a couple other times in Ephesians. Number one there under letter A, the right perspective of authority. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, it reads like this, and God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. It doesn't mean he's the head as dominating. It's not talking about here, related to the husband, it's not referring to superiority, and it's not referring to dominion over. What it's reporting to is the care of. That doesn't mean my wife can't take care of herself, but it means I need to help her in every way I can. So again, under here, you can write the concept servant, leader. This is God's role for the husband. And the heart of this role is to help her be all she can be. I had a teacher I didn't care for very much in college, but I listened to her. And she took me aside and says, you need to be careful with your wife. Sometimes guys, and she had a thing against men, but she said, sometimes guys won't allow their wives to really grow. You need to do all you can to help her grow educationally, emotionally, and so on. And honestly, I didn't appreciate her much, but I listened to that and I thought, that makes a lot of sense. And so from that time on, as we got married, I began to think about my wife's future. And she needed to have a job. She needed to do something. And I said, why don't you teach piano? And she said, oh, yeah, right. I can't teach piano. And to which I said, give it a try. So she finally did, talked with one student and began to teach her and realized she really has a gift of teaching. And of course, she knows piano. And next thing you know, that's something she really enjoys to do. And part of that was, if something should happen to me, she has something to take care of herself financially. But I helped her grow in an area she never thought she would have. That's the concept of a servant leader. I'm not bragging on myself, please, you know I don't do that. But it is an illustration of how you ought to put your wife's needs ahead of your own. That's what it means to have that authority, to be that head, to think of her best interest. Look at number two, the right perspective on responsibility. This is the other place in Ephesians where the term head is used. Look in Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16. It says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Now look what that means. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and does what? Builds itself up in love as each part does its work. A servant leader is one who is being responsible for the whole relationship. And doesn't mean wife, you're off the hook, but there are many times a guy allows the wife to do it all. The other thing is being accountable for her personal growth, and also taking the initiative to serve her needs and the needs of the family. By the way, when the Bible says, wives submit to your husbands, it's really hard if the husband's not being a servant leader. If the husband is being a servant leader, as the Bible describes, it's not hard to submit. And vice versa. If the wife is submitting as Scripture calls, then it's easier for that husband to lead. Harmony. Now, how to love. I have a picture here for you. Just thought it was cool. Okay. Look at number one, how to love with willing sacrifice. Here's another picture for you. With willing sacrifice. There it is. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's where it becomes easy for her to submit as she should. Look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. How much did Christ love the church? Radically. Beyond comprehension. Without genuine love, submission is ridiculously hard. Without genuine love, competition replaces submission. Christ's love is self-sacrificing for her benefit. We benefit just because of who Christ is and what he's done. Look at number two, how to love with genuine love. I have a picture here too. There it is. Playing Scrabble. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. If you look at verses 26 and 28 in Ephesians 5, he says, this is what love looks like. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. A servant leader values his wife in every way. A servant leader encourages his wife's personal growth. A servant leader recognizes his wife's special giftedness and lets her use it. Build each other up is the concept behind being submissive to the Holy Spirit, to one another, and to the wife. We have number three now. Talk about the value of supporting. Verse 24 reads like this: Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. That's not so hard if you guys are living the way God has called. But it does call. I got a picture here too. All right, you have a choice. You have a choice to discourage or encourage. As parents, we have that choice with our children. As believers, we have that choice with one another. As citizens on this state of Washington, we have that choice one way or the other. We're talking specifically in the role of marriage. Wives, I don't think some ladies understand how emotionally they can just wound their husband. Because we get wounded and we kind of, and we hide it. But inside we're a broken vessel. Encouragement is really important. I'm talking about genuine encouragement, not just, fluff. Thank you. Look at verse 24. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Here's a definition of to encourage. I want you to listen to this, and you can go find a dictionary and look it up yourself. It means to inspire with courage, spirit, or confidence. How many of you ladies really like it when your husband shows courage in the right way, when he shows confidence in the right way, when he has a lot of spirit to lead and do things? It should bring security to you because that's how it's designed. Another part of that definition, to encourage means to stimulate by assistance or approval. Us guys have this little weak heart. We really need approval. But we want it genuine. This commitment begins on your wedding day, but it has played out every day since. Look at letter A. It encourages him to lead well. I've got a picture here. Encourage. And I just thought that was just kind of beautiful, right? Kind of fun. Looks like we're out on the prairie in the morning. When you encourage your husband, when Carrie genuinely encourages me, this is a picture of how I feel. I feel like I've woken up and what a beautiful morning, and I'm ready just to head out and I could conquer the world, right? Almost heard the theme song of Oklahoma coming in my mind. To lead well. To lead is very, very difficult. A leader always has someone criticizing him or her. Criticism eventually deflates hope. Failing hope steals courage to lead. But support revives hope and courage. Support brings hope and courage that is revived, and it will encourage respect from you. A man, when he loses hope, is a terrible thing. And there have been times when my hope would be just a flickering flame. And I could tell you times when Carrie come along and just did her thing. Carrie believes in me, and the Lord believes in me. Nobody can stand against. Every man needs his hope supported. When we undermine, when we're making comments, when we're engaging with other ladies and talking poorly about our husbands, whether they're there or not, we're eroding that hope. When our husband is making a decision after the discussions and we're going to do this, we're going to, whatever it might be, do this related to the church or whatever, and then the wife bucks it and fights it, hope deflates. Need that encouragement. And when that encouragement comes, he leads and he leads well. Number two, or letter B, it encourages him to love well. And I got another picture here. I told you I had a lot. Yep, I used to know what that meant. I can't read it. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. This is the heart and soul of it. This is what harmony is. We build each other up in Christ. So I looked up the word respect. Again, you can do it in the dictionary, and it says this: esteem for, or a sense of the worth of a person. I'm telling you right now, your husband needs to feel like he has worth in your eyes. It helps that hope to puff and grow in a good way. The natural response of one who is encouraged and respected, he admires. Admire means to regard with wonder, pleasure, or approval. I admire my wife. I love her too, but I admire her. She gives me so much meaning. God's special design is that the husband needs respect. And when he gets respect from his significant spouse, his only spouse, that is, respect, when he gets that respect, his love for her will grow. Men, your wife needs your love. Love means care. It means action, not just a feeling. But when she has your love, it encourages her to respect you well. Letter C, it encourages him to listen well. How many of you ladies want your husband to listen better? Don't raise your hand. I find that when Carrie wants to talk to me and I'm watching a TV show or sports, and she starts talking, the first thing I've learned long ago, it's very hard back then, now it's not so hard, I'll turn it off because I am not going to hear her. And so eventually what she says is, oh, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry, you go ahead and watch that. And I honestly tell her, no, you're more important than that, if this is that important. And she'll 9 times out of 10 say, oh, no, it's not. I just wasn't thinking. You go ahead and finish that and then we'll talk. To which I say, thank you so much, and I'm back at it. I think I have a picture here too. When you encourage your husband by your submission, by your not competing, by your lack of criticalness, when you encourage him, that's how you feel. Look how beautiful that is. I can't tell if that's the sky or water. But it looks kind of not hot, not cold, looks cool, looks great, looks remarkable. And it has some colors there that just kind of give you a calm and a peacefulness. And when my wife encourages me, I feel like I could conquer the world. I have some applications there for you. I'm just going to read them. Wives, compliment your husband's leading rather than compete with him. And you do this by cooperating with him. Guys, it doesn't mean you make all the decisions. She has no say. Remember, this is the equal thing. So you discuss the decisions, but when it comes down to it, you're the one held responsible for the decision, and we'll talk about that in June. Number two, trust God to change your husband into the man he desires him to be. This is a real important thing, and I don't mean to be a knucklehead or anything, but it seems like women are always wanting to marry somebody and change them. Marry the one you love, and let God change him. Because I got word for you, you can't change him any more than he can change you. Take what you got. If that's God's gift for you, let God work on him. Look at number three. Support your husband's decisions with your attitude, with your speech, and with your efforts. By efforts, I mean you're going to help fulfill the decision. Of course, with your speech, you're going to speak kindly. And with your attitude, it's really important. You don't go, okay then. But you do it because you're going to support. My whole heart in this sermon is to help us understand Christians being married is the greatest opportunity to live out the gospel out loud. The greatest opportunity to demonstrate what it means to love the Lord and follow after Him. Because after all, this whole world is finding every way it can to change God's whole design for marriage. Father, I thank You for this day. These people who are really patient, I thank You for their love for You, for Your Word, for one another. Help us, Father. Help us to be obedient to chapter 5, verse 18, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And out comes from our mouth hymns and songs and spiritual songs and just singing and praise. And then from that, help us to learn to submit to one another by helping each other become better believers in Christ. And specifically in the marital relationship, help us to submit to one another. Help us to be worthy of the leadership You've given us as men. And Father, we thank You for this day. I pray this is a wonderful day for everybody. In Jesus' name, amen.